We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know.
Is it spooky and dark there?
Doesn't it look like I'm like in the sun from my horrible light? You don't see like the glowing orange
that is Mexico? My face right now. Are you tropical right now?
I've made my shack into a tanning bed. No, I have not. Because that will give me cancer and kill me early.
You don't want to die of melanoma.
I don't. I mean, having grown up in Florida, I'm already at higher risk than everyone else. Yeah. So no tanning beds, folks. But it is. It's not dark, but you know, it's like, it's getting there.
It's getting there.
And we have change of colors happening.
Fall is here.
So yeah, fall is here. Yeah, I had Eloise decked out in pumpkin and ghosties this weekend. So, cute. I'm leaning into it. Yeah,
we decorated for Halloween yesterday. Russ has been asking and asking, like mid-September, you know what? Yeah, might as well. Like, why not?
You have that like Halloween advent calendar thing, right?
Uh-huh. We got a new tree for it because... So it's like it was mine when I was a kid. So it's not that old, but it's a little bit old. I'd be like, it's so old. It's
practically
not that old.
Brand new.
It's vintage, I guess you could say. And it's like this big, long box that has all these tiny little, it has 31 little drawers in it. And then like they're all numbered. So each day, and they're like scattered. It's not in a row. So each day you take out this tree and you put this tree on the stand. And then each day you take out another decoration and decorate this little Halloween tree.
So fun.
And yeah. So when I can't remember if it's when we bought our house or when Russ was born, my mom bought a second one when we were little because my sister and I liked it so much that she was like, you can each have one when you grow up.
Cute.
So when she was like, okay, it's time, you can have yours now. So yeah, my sister's, I don't know where that is.
I'll take this out, but awkward.
Who knows where hers is? Probably pond. But mine is in my house. And Russ loves it, has loved it since he was born. So,
because he's a spooky bitch.
He loves spooky season.
It's my favorite thing.
You know, we're raising
him
right.
He's a great kid.
I say we.
We are. We. I know.
We were mistaken for his two lesbian mothers so many times.
Happily mistaken. You just embrace it. Happily embrace it. Very happily.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to have very much tonight, but then I found like a bunch of little things. So
yeah, it was a weird, weird.
It was
news week.
Yeah, like there, I went to my notes and I was like, oh, I have nothing. Like I haven't. There's been nothing that's come.
Yeah, like I do slowly purview. like save things.
Me too. Yes,
I only had like two
put them
things
away and like, oh. Yeah, I know, mm-hmm. I know. So I had to go actually searching. It didn't come to me.
You had to actually do work for this podcast.
No.
Okay. Also. This is like my bad luck week. Like this week, historically, every year is not good. So if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you'll remember last year on Russell's first day of school, which was September 12th, I had a meeting in the morning and I got laid off, which was like overall not a bad thing, kind of a blessing in disguise. And then this year, yesterday, Russell's first day of school and my grandpa died. And it was like, what is with September 12th? Isn't that weird?
I got chills.
It's like something spooky. It's also the day that Johnny Cash died 20 years ago this year.
Fuck.
It's just a shitty day.
Shitty day.
Yeah. So I know I've been like alluding to like tough times in the McDam's household, which is my grandfather was sick and he was on hospice and he passed away yesterday, which I don't want to say it's a good thing, but, you know, like he was in a lot of pain and his quality of life was really poor. So it was sort of a relief that he was out of his suffering. But he was a very private man and my family was very sort of protective of him. So it's like this weird thing where it's like, okay,
our summer
has been turned upside down. I'm going to Canada every other day. And I can't like tell anyone why. So now I told my dad, I was like, today, I was like, I'm like, it's so like, it's okay that people like know, right? He's like, right. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be kept a secret anymore.
We don't have to keep it a secret forever.
Yeah.
So, Because yeah. Isn't that weird?
I'm sorry. That's very weird. Is it horrible of me to be like, well, at least you know that the bad thing that's going to happen this week has already happened? Like, you don't have to worry about what bad thing is going to happen. Yeah,
I know. Fucking right? Hope so.
God.
Now, next September 12th, I'm going to brace myself. I'm going to be like,
for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Who knows what's going to happen next year? Kindergarten
by then, so he won't start school on that day. God,
that's very sad to me.
You know, that's the scariest thing. That's the scariest thing I'm going to say tonight. Next year, I'm going to have a kid in kindergarten.
But I'm so young. How? It's amazing. You've even gotten your period.
I told Shannon this today. One time when Russ was little, he was like a few months old. And this is maybe when I had pink hair. But I was really skinny because he nursed so much, and
exactly the same, dude. Really sweet, and you always talk about how you're so much skinnier. I'm like, you look exactly the same. Oh no, 10 pounds.
But I said to my mom one day, I was like, and also I should also say, I think I was 28 when Russ was born. None of my friends had kids at that time. Mm-hmm. Like now. Mm-hmm. Like you, one girl I went to, like graduated high school with, is now pregnant. Like, but very few of my friends have, even now, 4 years later, have had children. So I think I felt like a young mom relative to my peer group. Yeah. And I was like, Mom, do you think that sometimes when people see me like out with Russell, they think that I'm his nanny? And she was like, why would they think that? No. And I was like,
that's sweet of you.
They look so young. And she was like, no, Haley, like you're 28. You're very much age appropriate to be his parent.
Oh my God. That is so funny. I just can picture Lori being like, you fucking moron. No.
Haley, you're 28 years old.
But I'm so youthful.
Really? I have pink hair, though. I'm so hip.
I can't see any pores on my face, mother.
My UFO tattoo? What? I'm not going to be a mother.
No mom would have this. I do. I'm so glad you shared that. I really enjoy it. Now that we're 32 and washed up old biddies.
Now I'm like, yeah.
Definitely not a mom.
Nary a surprise at me being a mother. They're like, are you his grandmother or his mom?
Are you the old nanny they hired? Yeah.
Are you the Mary Poppins in this situation? Yeah. Like a mystical old woman, a little old crone who shows up with magic tricks?
Oh my God. Only hell yeah, dreams. I'll be that woman. Right? Yeah, for sure.
I wish.
You promised me last week a spooky story from a listener that I was not allowed to look at in the Instagram DMs.
Oh my God, I forgot too. I thought about it earlier today. Oh,
hell yeah. And then I forgot. So glad I reminded you.
Okay. Do you want to start with it?
I'm ready. Yes, let's start with it.
Let me find it. Someone mentioned us.
What?
That never happens. Someone named Bunanas said, my favorite podcast. If you love all things spooky, witchy, and hilarious, then give your ears a treat.
Oh my God. Thanks, Bunanas.
Oh my God. Thank you.
what is their real name if you click on their profile?
Anna Adams.
Oh no, I don't even know who that is.
Thank you, Anna.
It's a stranger. Thanks, Anna.
We love you.
We love you, Bunana.
You're my favorite listener. No, I can't say that. Haley.
Every listener is our favorite listener.
How could we? It's like choosing your favorite child.
No, not possible.
I only have one, so it's easy.
It's easy for you.
Okay, this is a story from Lacey.
Okay, hi, Lacey.
Thank you, Lacey.
Thanks, okay. Lacey.
So it was after, I think she listened to, maybe she listened to our... fucking, what was the name of that hotel in LA that they changed the name of where Elisa Lam died? Do you know what I'm talking about? Cecil.
I know exactly. Cecil, no. Yes.
The Cecil Hotel. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is her spooky story. And she sent it to us last month or like the month before. She sent it to us in July and I just never
Slackers.
Saw it. Slackers. I was like, sorry.
Sorry, Lacey.
Okay. So she goes, wanted to shoot one to you. Thank you. Appreciate that. The Drake Hotel. I've stayed there. It's majorly haunted. And I had zero idea until I started hearing things, seeing things, and started Googling from my hotel room. I was horrified at what I found. I immediately went to the front desk to ask, and they were completely mum on the word and said they couldn't answer any questions.
What? Oh my God, of course. Idiots.
If I worked at the front desk of a haunted hotel, I'd be like, yes, let me introduce you to the ghosts. Do you have 4 hours? Because I'll talk at you for 4 hours.
Okay, you would be a tour guide.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, let's make it fun. She goes, we were there for New Year's. The Drake hosted so many major parties. They have four ballrooms. We went to the top floor, presidential suite, to walk around. Mm. Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, a woman in a red dress threw herself off the top of the building after finding her lover cheating on her during a New Year's party.
Fucked up.
Well, while my friend and I were walking, I saw a beautiful red dress walk by out of the corner of my eye. Mind you, I've never researched anything yet. I assume someone was super dressed up for the New Year's party. But then when my friend and I tried to get a selfie, the face filter kept capturing something behind me and not
Stop.
Me. She sent Stop. The selfie too. I'll show it to you. We both got chilled, super cold all of a sudden, and we screamed, ran down the hall, spilling all of our wine, never to go back to the top floor again. The Drake has many stories, probably some never listed. It's in Chicago. This is the picture. Where, like, it's like a face filter, you know, where it, like, captures your face, and it's not capturing her face, and it's just capturing the hallway behind her.
Look at her friend's reaction of, like, they're what both, the like, fuck?
Freaking the fuck out. So then,
can
she
we,
goes...
I hope we can share that to
our didn't ask.
Media,
I asked her if I could share the story, but I didn't ask if we share the photo.
Okay. We'll follow up, Lacey. We'll ask.
Mm-hmm. So she goes, there's a picture, LOL. Was it coincidence, or was it the woman in the red dress who jumped to her death from that same floor who didn't like us there the day she died? And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing. Do you mind if we share it on the podcast? She's like, it was so spooky. That hotel has so much incredible history. Absolutely, you may share. And she goes, I kept jumping up to get it to capture my face. And then I said, maybe it's the lady in the red dress I saw. And then we got chills and ran. And her dress was that of a ball gown. I even made mention of how overdressed she was for the party that evening.
What?
But it was from the early 1900s when she jumped to her death, so it made sense, that style of dress. So then she Googles the Drake Hotel just to, like, send me a screenshot of, like, haunted hotels, and there's other people talking about the lady in the red dress.
What?
Isn't that so cool?
Oh, chills all over. So it
I just got chills
Cecil,
too.
It was the Drake in Chicago.
Yeah, the Drake in Chicago. I think she just, like, maybe listened to our haunted hotels and was like, I have a haunted hotel story. So then she sent a screenshot of all of these, like, crazy stories, and some of them were written in 2022 and she stayed there in 2018. So, like, people continue to see the lady in the red dress.
I just Googled the Drake Hotel and it looks super swanky. And
oh, really?
Oh, man. Like, I see the ballrooms and crazy. That's a great story.
So good and so creepy.
Thank you, Lacey.
Also, that would be you and I if we were at a haunted hotel. Like,
except not spilling our wine.
Well, that's true. We would be a little more
that shit's a priority
with the Kimmy. Oh, yeah, that's pretty. It's very, very grand looking.
Mm-hmm.
I like the big sign on top. Beautiful ballrooms.
Yes, beautiful.
It looks like it could really be haunted, though, huh?
Totally, 100%. Mm-hmm. I think that's where one of our tour stops will be, you know, in the Midwest.
100%. 100%.
It's got to be. Got to be the Drake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show up in a red ball gown on stage.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Also, anyone listening, there is no tour scheduled. We're just talking out of our asses.
This is just a dream. No, we're manifesting.
That's right.
We're speaking it into reality. That's what my acupuncturist said. Mm-hmm. You have to like exist as if it's already happening. So you just need to show up at the Drake in a fucking red ball gown and the crowd will appear, my friend. Is that
because
how it works?
They'll be like, this is the ghost. Well, not because this is Easy Bake Kevin. My, like, dream would be, like, a spooky season tour where we, like, go to Salem, we go to Boston, we go to New York, we go to Chicago. You know, like, I would be so down. So,
and, like, only cool venues.
Yes.
They're like, you have to play at this big arena. I'd be like, no.
Fuck you, no.
We have to play at an arena. Okay, Haley, you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself.
Now I won't be at Madison Square Gardens, please.
MSG, no. I will perform in the chapel at Greenwood Cemetery only. And I don't care if seating is limited. That's the whole point.
That's it. It's not about the money. It's about the vibes.
It's not about the money. It's about the experience.
Also, a little bit performing about the money, at the chapel at the... No, it is definitely. Yeah. Performing at the chapel at the cemetery sounds amazing.
So. I really wanted to get married there. Because you can get married there. And my mom was like, well, absolutely not.
We can divorce our husbands.
And
marry each other on an episode of the podcast.
I mean, if you watch the videos that Elise and I send back and forth all day, we're close to that.
Oh my God. So if you want us to go on tour, have your friends listen, have your wives listen, have your lovers listen, have everybody listen.
If you have a mistress, tell her about our podcast. Or him. Tell him or her. Is it just a mistress?
Them. If you're maybe a them.
Just tell your
everyone.
Tell your friends. Multiple.
Yeah, tell all of them.
If you're in a polyamorous relationship, tell every single person you're
dating. That's like three or four listeners.
You're our favorite kind of listener. If you're a big old slut, just
yes,
get it in and get this podcast in their ears also. Is that too much?
Oh, no. You know what? If we're too much, they've stopped listening already.
That's so true. That's so true.
You know, you either take us as we are or you tune out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No apologies. So
do you want to do one?
Yes, actually, speaking of what we've been speaking of, our tangents have led me to my first news.
Like, speaking of leaving our husbands, slutty listeners.
Yes.
Haley being too much. Which one is?
No, okay. I'm going back like 5 minutes before we got there. Oh. I'm going to the spilled wine.
Yes.
In the hall.
I saw this.
I was like, Haley's going to have this on her list.
Haley's going to have this. NPR posted it. So I saw it on Instagram.
Well, in a Portuguese video. Village, 600,000 gallons of red wine flooded
so
the streets.
Much wine.
Now, Haley and I are not really red wine drinkers, but
no one was drinking it.
No, it just was wasted, I guess.
If the shoe fits.
I know. I mean, lapping it up in the streets.
I would literally be like laying down with my mouth open.
Or at least like catching it with bottles, you know? And, like,
oh, yeah.
Saving I was gonna that say, shit.
Like, catching it with my shirt and then wringing it out into my mouth. But I guess like cups exist also.
Yeah, there's cups and mugs and, you know, other easier ways to drink it. Mm-hmm. So this is in the town of São Lourenço de Barro. Sorry, Portuguese village, Portugal. Didn't say that right. but there was a distillery that had an enormous storage unit full of red wine, which I didn't even know that they like kept wine that way. I just always imagined it was in, you know, like barrels, like
yeah,
in Napa.
Yeah, I was gonna say like when we're in Napa, like cute, cool right. caves underground full of barrels. Yeah,
and there seems to be a reason why they're kept in individual barrels, because when you keep it in an enormous storage unit and then it bursts open, it sends a deluge of red wine through the streets.
Imagine how much money those people lost.
Horrible.
So much. That's such an expensive mistake.
I know. And then I guess when the force of the flood happened, it caused a second similar size container to topple over.
Oh, shit.
And so it was just, I mean, like, if you watch the video, it's literally flooding the streets.
It literally looks like
town. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a flood like, current going down the street.
It looks like this, like one of the, what do you call it in the Bible? Like the locust, one of the plagues. It's like the eighth plague where the streets are with blood.
Yeah, like running with blood.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is much better than that. Mm-hmm. And this also happened.
Yeah, for real. And it lasted for an hour. That's how much wine there was.
That's
an hour
so
of wine.
Crazy.
And one resident cellar was flooded with red wine. So
yes, you lucky yeah, bitch.
So. I know. Yeah,
put it in lucky, buckets.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who cares if it has little rocks then, and like pebbles the, and insects in it?
Yeah. The thing I said was like, or the thing I read was like, no one was drinking it. I'm like, why the fuck not?
Like, okay. It was dirty.
Well, you know what? You know what? This is the thing. This is true. If you are drinking wine from like a large scale winery, vineyard, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. they are using machines to harvest their grapes, which means in that mix there's oh. bugs, there's nastiness, there's twigs, there's bird
shit.
They're
not picking that shit by hand.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not picking it by hand, and that all just gets squished in. So you're already
protein eating, baby,
you're already eating bugs if you drink wine.
And let's be honest, red wine is so flavorful and overpoweringly so
yeah,
sometimes
you won't even taste
you're not
it.
Gonna taste it. Mm-mm.
Just yeah. put it through mm-hmm. a little filter.
There you go.
Just do a little wire mesh situation. Some people are not into wine as much as they should be.
No, apparently not. Especially for living in the village that has these large vats of it. So
that's so crazy.
Get with the picture.
So crazy. Okay, my turn.
Yes.
Did you see the alleged alien bodies that were unveiled at the Mexican congressional hearing?
I want to hear your thoughts so badly on this.
Immediately, I was like, that is the fakest alien corpse I've ever seen. Are those
paper mache?
I love his creativity. Mm-hmm. Like, and the cases they're really bad, though. They're really bad. They look like you carved them out of stone.
I'm shocked that the Mexican, was it the Senate, Congress? Shocked that they allowed it into their chambers.
Yeah. Okay, so if you haven't seen this.
If you haven't,
where have you been? Like, what's going on? But somehow this, like, prominent ufologist, researcher, quote-unquote researcher.
Yeah, I don't even feel like we should call him that, to be honest.
I know. I just, like,
fraudster.
I can't sully the name of all ufologists, but fuck, they do a pretty good job of that themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is why I need to take up the cause in earnest, so I can bring some evidence-based, peer-reviewed fucking shenanigans into the UFO game.
Yep. Yep.
The problem is, I wouldn't find anything. No, I'm just kidding. I do believe. But I don't believe this guy. So,
no.
I don't know how he, like, arranged to have an audience with Mexican Congress, but this guy named Jaime Maussan, who's a ufologist, journalist, researcher, whatever, in Mexico City, was like, I'm bringing these important things that we need to look at, and showed in two separate boxes these, they look like little gray aliens, like
also, classic I think gray we need aliens. To say they weren't just boxes. They're like in like pillows and like satin sheets and covered in glass.
Like coffins almost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So strange.
Also, when I saw the pictures of those, I was like, all right, let's pretend for a second these are real. You wouldn't want them under light like that. Like you would have them in the most protected, air conditioned, like safe room.
Yeah, not in like a
fluorescent light,
like,
you know,
cosplaying just, research. Yeah. It would actually be like stored properly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
They look very fake. They have three fingers on each hand. They're like tiny. They have big heads. They look very much not real. And he says that they did testing on their remains, and that more than 30% of their DNA was unknown. I'm like, yeah, because
it's fake.
Yeah, like rocks or shit. Mm-hmm. And then he said that carbon dating found that they're 700 to 1,000 years old. And he showed X-rays. And it showed that, and like scans, and which showed that they contained some kind of metal implant, as well as one of them appeared to be full of eggs. So gross. So he said, we don't know if these are genuine aliens, but they were intelligent and they lived with us. And it's as such, they should rewrite history. What's hilarious is that this is not his first time presenting what he claims to be aliens found in Peru. Because these he said he found in like a cave in Peru.
Trickster.
So he's done that before, claiming that he found mummified alien bodies, which did not turn out to be mummified alien bodies. So I'm kind of shocked that they allowed him into Congress.
Maybe it was a slow day in Mexican Congress.
But it's funny because people see the headline and they're like, congressional hearing unveiled proof of UFOs.
Yeah, it's
and think
very
that it was like government
misleading.
Sanctioned, and it's like no. Mm-hmm. They let it crazy in.
Yeah, I just am shocked they let him in. Like what?
He just makes all of us look bad.
He does makes us look like crazier than we are.
It's fun though. It's a fun headline.
It is.
Gives
fun.
Me
it
something to talk about at parties if I were invited to any.
Well, this one, as soon as I read it, I was like, oh god, I gotta tell Haley about this. Maybe you've heard about it. Tell me. I had to kind of dig kind of hard to find it. So let's see, where did this take place before I ruin it? Oh, it was in Britain, and it was in this seascape cafe at the North Sea Observatory in St. Leonard's, England.
Yes.
And these people walk by this building and see all these people laying down, and they're like, holy shit, they're part of a cult and they're doing a ritual mass murder, and we need to call it in. And so they call it in, and it turns out that they were all just part of the cult of yoga.
They were just doing their shavasana at the end of the yoga class.
Yep, just doing their shavasana. And I guess when the cops showed up,
Just so good.
So good. When the cops showed up, the class was already over, so they didn't find out about it until later. And they're like, this is just ridiculous. Like, we're just practicing our yoga. We are shocked. It's just, we were in a beautiful, deep relaxation, and it never would have occurred to us that people thought we were self-sacrificing.
So funny. Well, and like the thing I read about it said that the instructor was walking around with some kind of like a shamanic drum or something sense. And was wearing like a robe. So they were like, so the people just saw like all these people laying still on the ground and then someone walking around in a robe doing something strange.
I mean, it just speaks to our society today and that there are so many people willing to believe crazy shit that you would be so scared that people are, I mean, good on them for calling it in. That couldn't have been an easy choice to make.
Yeah.
But you know,
if you see yogis, something, say something.
You look like you're a part of a cult.
Maybe just like look for 30 seconds to see if people are actually murdered or if they're just doing a yoga class.
Look and see if they're wearing, what is that, Lululemon or whatever, you know.
If they're wearing their Nike trainers.
Athleisure. Yeah. Oh, if they're wearing head to toe, then
I know, I was like, yeah, if they're wearing athleisure, it could be like Heaven's Gate situation. Yeah, but they were wearing more loose-fitting sweatpants, mm-hmm. sort of tracksuit situation. Yes. If you're wearing tight yoga pants that are more form-fitting, yeah. it's less likely to be a mass suicide.
Yeah, very, very less likely. Yeah. So if anyone is walking by that building, know that they do have night yoga classes going on. So no, they are not mass suiciding each other.
Do you think that the people who called it in just like left immediately? Or do you think that they like stood by and like watched from a distance and then like saw everyone like stand up and roll up their yoga mats and go get in their cars and they're like, oh, we already called the cops. What do we do?
Yeah, I imagine that they left. I would hope.
They were like, oh God, it's a murder. We got to get out of here.
We got to get out.
Like, hurry, Ted. We got to get home to the dogs.
I really like imagining that they broke into the yoga class and were like, stop it. It's not worth it. And everyone's like, what? Everyone's like, what? This is ruined my Shavasana.
That's literally the only reason to go. No offense. The only reason to go to yoga class is for the laying still at the end.
Oh, when I was a kid, my dad went to yoga a lot. And when I was an adult, he'd go like 5 times a week. But as a kid, he'd go once a week and he would bring me. Because he was a single parent.
Yeah.
And I just always remember the end of the Shavasana and being like, this is great. And I'd be almost asleep and then they'd be like, ding. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that called corpse
now,
pose?
Please wake up. Yeah, I think so.
Well, they did a very good job.
They did very a very good job.
Corpse pose. Yeah. Is that right?
Someone tell us. I only do yoga on my phone through an app, so I don't know the real stuff.
I haven't done yoga in years. I really should do it because
it's really nice.
My body is broken. It is called corpse pose.
Yikes.
Yes.
That's a bad omen.
Well, they did it well.
They best they corpse were very poses convincing.
That yoga instructor had ever seen.
And the passerbys, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Okay. I'm trying to keep things light and fun, but that's not always easy around
here. Not always possible.
Okay, this is not going to be light and fun, but I know we need to talk about it. Did you hear about this influencer, parenting, life coach influencer, who's now in jail for abusing her children?
Yes, I wanted to talk about I couldn't remember if we talked about it or if there's two of them, right? There's two women.
It's, like a woman and her business partner, quote unquote business partner, their life coaches.
Tell
Would
us
you
everything.
Believe that? Huh.
I think I remember thinking about it last news cycle or maybe the beginning of last, after our last news cycle. I was like, we need to talk about this. And then I forgot. So I'm so glad that we're talking about it.
Okay. So if you haven't heard, this woman named Ruby Frank, was arrested on August 30th on 2 counts of aggravated child abuse. She is famous because she's had this YouTube channel called 8 Passengers, which she started in 2016, and she had like 2.3 million subscribers, and then she deleted it earlier this year. So she would share videos of her husband, and their 6 kids, Sherry, age 20, Chad, age 18, Abby, 16, Julie, 14, Russell, 12, and Eve, 10. Ugh. Unfortunate that our kids have the same name.
But that's the only similarity they share.
So what's weird is she was a life coach. I don't know what her credential is. I couldn't really be bothered to look into it. She's a fucking
there isn't any, Haley. You can just say, I'm a life coach, and then you
coaching is unregulated. There's no certification. There's no nothing. If you want to go to therapy, please find someone who answers to a state board and is held to a certain standard. And you please, can report indeed. If they do something unethical, because when you're dealing with vulnerable people, it's really important that there's accountability. Okay, mm-hmm. there's my rant. So she and this gal are life coaches, whatever the fuck that means for them. That's their company. And people now are looking back and there's like a distinct pattern of child abuse that she's been mm-hmm. like almost proud of over the years. Like, I think she's really mentally ill and she doesn't realize that she's abusing her children. Like in 2020, she like, and she also, this bothers me so much. She films her kids for her content and like, you know, puts her kids on her YouTube video. And Elise and I both feel very strongly about this.
Very strongly.
If you want to be an influencer, if you want to make content, whatever, you know, go for it. But your children who are not able to consent have no place in that. And I don't mean like your even though like my Instagram is private, I don't share photos of my son. That's mostly because of my profession. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to take a nice photo with your kid and put it on your Instagram, like I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right.
If you want to base a business and like your whole livelihood on exploiting your children and like filming really vulnerable, intimate moments of your family's life and sharing them on the internet.
Particularly when they're crying and they're upset and you're making that content.
And she does, and she did that. Like she would film her kids crying because her whole thing was like her unconventional parenting techniques, which were literally child abuse.
It's a quick tangent. I might have talked about this before, but
tangent.
Please do. You'll need a drink of wine after this story. I follow this mom blog account called mom.uncharted, and she basically talks.
She's the one who like warned. You were talking about how she warned people how like kids were finding ways to communicate online, even if they lost like.
Yeah.
Social media privileges and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But she also shares how kids are exploited. Like this terrifying, she just shared this terrifying news story, like an actual news story from TV where this mom was reached out to by the FBI who said, hey, we got this tip in Europe that your daughter's picture has been sold on the dark web. And whoever put her picture up there is saying that he can come kidnap her for them. If they buy her, he'll sell her for rape. He'll sell her to be kidnapped, whatever. And it was this guy that they'd gone to church with.
Oh, God.
And, you know, so he thought they weren't like friends, but they thought like, oh, that's so-and-so from church. Like, we can be friends on Facebook. Yeah. It's fine. And then he took their family photos, put them on the dark web, and put their daughter up for sale in Europe. So he was arrested and what have you. But it's just like, you have no idea. And I talk to Haley about this all the time. Like, I really struggle with, you know, I have friends and family all over the country. And so I post pictures of Eloise on my private Facebook page and I'll post them in my like private stories on Instagram. But even that, sometimes I get scared because of stories just like that. We're like, who the fuck knows what's happening with these pictures? And and so these people who make it their business,
they're fucking like they make a living off of exploiting their kids in that way.
And there are so many predators online on Instagram who make accounts just to look at pictures of your kids. Even if you don't think the pictures are sexualized, they find will them
sexualize
sexual.
Your children.
Yeah.
And also, if that's not enough to dissuade you from exploiting your children online, the impact that it has on your child, that like in their most, you know, even if it's their happiest moment, it's their saddest moment, whatever, in like these intimate moments, you have a fucking camera in their face filming them, you know, and they're always performing, like they're always on. Yeah. It's funny. I have a friend who like was an influencer and isn't on social media anymore, but like that was her livelihood. Yeah. And I remember she posted a video once of one of her kids. And like, it was one thing when they were little and they were like, you know, toddlers. But then as her kids got older, one of them was like, no filming right now, mom, no camera. Oh, and like, it was like, oh my God, that's so heartbreaking. Right. She wants you to connect with her. She's asking you to connect with her, not through
Not through a camera.
And that's something that I'm aware of in my own life because I always want to capture like every sweet moment. And sometimes I'm like, just put your phone away, Haley. Like,
yeah. I have that.
And you know, you have 50,000 photos on your phone of your kid. Like, these memories are what's more important.
Right. I struggle with that because it's like, I don't want to forget anything about her. I just want to remember all of it.
Every time he does something cute, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to remember that forever. I need to capture it.
Right. But she knows my phone. Like, the way she looks at it, the way she, it's creepy. And it's, yeah, I just have so many feelings around kids and phones and social media. And so this woman that we're talking about is just
really fucking makes my blood boil.
Ooh. Yeah.
So she posted this video in 2020 that her, one of her sons had been, one of her teenage sons had been like pranking his little brother, bugging his little brother. So he lost bedroom privileges for a year. And he got to choose whether he slept on the pull-out couch or a beanbag. And for 7 months, he had to sleep on a beanbag chair.
Oh,
which is like a developing teenage body. Like, that's not comfortable. Yeah. That's that's child abuse.
If you
can't afford to provide something else and you're like just making ends meet, that's one thing. But like, they have a beautiful home. Mm-hmm. You know, so like he said,
a beautiful home paid for on the backs of her children,
exactly,
who are sleeping in these beanbags.
Yeah, so he'd had his bedroom taken away as punishment. Let's see, what's the other?
Wasn't there one kid who had like wounds from being tied up?
Yeah, so that's like that's what we're sort of like building up to.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's totally fine. That's like the end one, but like a number of years ago, she posted this video bragging, like. Like, I need to tell everyone about this great parenting moment that I just did. Her 6-year-old forgot their lunch at home, her daughter. And the teacher called and was like, hey, Eve doesn't have her lunch here. Can you bring it? And she was like, it's Eve's responsibility to make her lunch every morning and pack it. And she needs to learn the consequence for forgetting it. Do not give her food. Do not allow the other kids to give her any food. She needs to learn this lesson. 6 years old.
Oh my
like,
God.
Terrifying. So like there's like all these stories and people called Child Protective Services multiple times over the years. She's been investigated multiple times, but there was insufficient evidence to charge her with child abuse. And the threshold is so high. I know this from my experience of working with CPS and APS, like it really has to be like flagrant abuse to actually get intervention and like to get kids taken out of a home. It's got to be like really, really, really bad. So I'm sure they just didn't have enough information, you know,
which is shocking considering their whole lives are on YouTube.
Right. People had launched a petition online, which she said was just people like being haters, essentially. And they don't know our lives. They're taking things out of context. I'm like, you're not feeding your kids. So
And they're sort of on you. Bags.
So then August 30th, she's arrested because one of her kids, I think he was 12. I don't know. I think he was 12. Shows up at a neighbor's house with his fucking hands bound, covered in cuts and bruises, clearly emaciated. And apparently, like, emaciated to the point that it was upsetting to, like, first responders and, like, the people who came across him. And he's, like, banging on the door, like, please help us. We're being held here. And it's the business partner's house. It's not this gal's house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they were holding the kids there?
Yeah, it was a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so they end up investigating and found at least one more child who was also malnourished. And since this happened, her oldest daughter came out publicly on social media and said, today has been a big day. Me and my family are so glad justice is being served. We've been trying to tell the police and CPS for years about this and so glad they finally decided to step up. So the oldest kid who got out, you know, lives on her own, whatever.
I wonder what the husband thinks about all this.
He's probably just it's weird because it says that they're like estranged. And like his main like priority right now is taking care of his children and like keeping his family together. I'm like, well, that should have been your priority when your wife is like, abusing your kids. So
was it your priority when you were raking in the money? And
they live in Utah, and I think the oldest one goes to BYU, so I think they're all Mormon. And there's like a really big Mormon influencer world. That's like a whole thing. And within the Mormon church, like part of their doctrine is encouraging their church members to like be active on social media as a means to bring people into the church. Yeah, it's a whole thing. They have like calculated strategy.
Wow.
Cults, man. And then Ruby, the one who was arrested, and also the business partner was arrested. I think her name is Robin. They were both arrested. Anyway.
Ruby and Robin.
How Ruby's perfect. Sister, two of her sisters, who I think are also famous on the internet, like fucking fuck, posted something about how They have been waiting for this moment for the last 3 years. They've been doing everything they can legally to try and like change the situation and like bring justice for these kids. And they're just glad that the kids are going to be safe and that like what's needing to happen is happening. So just fucking crazy.
I read that she was hospitalized.
Ruby and Jody. Jody is the other one.
Oh, Jody.
Okay. Yeah. Ruby is like in the medical ward of the prison or something.
And, yeah. And actually for, like, both of them. Life-threatening issues. Maybe they tried to kill themselves.
Maybe they took something
and poisoned themselves or something.
I wonder. Something like that. It's funny because I saw that and I was like, I don't give a fuck about you. I'm not even gonna like look into that any further and see if I can find more information because fuck you, crazy bitch. Oh, is that bad to say?
No. I just don't understand why you have kids. Right?
I mean, like maybe she's really profoundly mentally ill.
Maybe. Or maybe she's just a total narcissist. Yeah. And you know, I think there's also something to the way social media makes you feel like everything you're doing is right when people are telling you that it is and commending you for what you're choosing to do. And so
you have like millions of followers and people are watching your videos. You're like, well, you know, I've got to be doing something right.
Yeah. Yep. 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 It's, I just really don't understand why you'd have children. Now having a child of my own and knowing how much I love her and would do anything for her, I cannot imagine making those choices as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then profiting off of the abuse that I'm causing my children.
There's like YouTube videos that Russ loves to watch. So like occasionally I will take clients. Well, this summer it happened a lot because I didn't have really robust childcare. But like then occasionally during the school year, I will have like a client that had to cancel. Mm. So we'll reschedule for a time when Russ isn't at school and he gets to watch YouTube. Well, he gets to watch TV and usually he wants to watch YouTube. And there's like two channels that he loves where it's like kids playing and like their dads film them playing and they like will do really cool, fun stuff and they'll go on adventures and they'll be playing with toys and stuff. And it just makes me so deeply uncomfortable. Like it just gives me the heebs. He loves it. And I understand why, because it's like kids fun his kids age playing. Doing things that he would like to do. But it's weird because he talks about them like he knows them. He'll be like, River and Axel went on this adventure with their dad and they went into a place where a volcano was and like blah, blah, blah. And he'll be like talking about them. I'm like, who? He's like, River and Axel. I'm like, oh my God. It's the my God. YouTube kids.
Also, it's so sad thinking that the dad is like setting this up every time they go to have fun. And he's like, gotta set up my YouTube video.
And he's filming them the whole time. It's just, I just find it so, it just makes me really like, uncomfortable.
Unsettling.
Like, we shouldn't be watching this. That should be like a sweet moment for your family. And you shouldn't be putting it on YouTube and monetizing it.
I Ben had a craft show this weekend, and so I was helping him, assisting, whatever, and, and I had Eloise, and so, you know, most of the time I was just, you know, walking around with her and whatever, just being emotional support, and I made a mom friend, and the reason we became friends is because her kids were on this hammock, and they were just messing around and like, almost falling out, and she was like, what point do I intervene? And I was like, I mean, they're not gonna break their neck, like it's
exactly
fine. And then I said, and you know, at least they're not on their phones, like that's so nice to see,
like kids
and
playing.
She said you know, I know that a lot of moms say that, you know, like talking about screen time is just another way to shame moms, but I feel like if you're gonna put your foot down about one thing, like screen time is probably an important one. And you know, like you, I'm trying not to have Eloise look at screen or, you know, watch TV until like two, you know, just because they've done studies about development, like before, and how it's not good really for their brains, and and I mean, you know, she sees them occasionally, like if we're working and she's got to be on our lap or she's looking at my phone or whatever, but like we don't just set her down in front of TV.
It's not used as childcare.
No, exactly. And I mean, I get it, I get that, you know, some stay-at-home moms, you got to work too and you just got to figure it out, whatever, in the course of talking to this gal, you know, I said, and this is something I've been thinking about becoming a parent, is, you know, why is the word hard, why does it have such a negative connotation? Like, hard doesn't mean bad, it just means that it's just means difficult.
It's hard work.
And she said, she totally agreed, and she said, you know, my kid asked me the other day, like, mom, is it hard to be a parent, because sometimes it seems like it's hard. And she was like, how do I answer this? And
like,
she said,
well, every day.
Yeah, she's like, you know, it is hard, but it's worth it. Just like making your favorite recipe. It's a lot of work, but man, at the end, is it delicious? And
love, you know, that analogy.
Such a good analogy. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, screens, man, the way that Eloise tries to see the screen just shows how addicting they are, you know? Like, she doesn't even know what it is.
Because if you put it in front of Russ, he's like, locked
in. All they care about.
I went to get a manicure before the wedding, and I haven't had a manicure, like, I think since before he was born. So I just brought an iPad. And I was like, he'll watch that.
Right.
He was excited. And he sat there and all these people were like, oh my God, your son is so well behaved. I'm like, it's a really effective tool, especially when you like limit it, you know, it's like, he's like, but it's scary. Cause he like, like, Russ,
and
like,
he can't
And he's like, nope, I know. Rest of the world doesn't exist right now.
I know.
It's great when you need it, but it's a tool. It's not like the only thing.
Right. It's not the babysitter. She will even sometimes reach out to touch my phone because she realizes that like it
she can interact with it
and I'm like no
not yet
do not no baby so oh man, I just don't understand. I don't understand momfluencers. I don't understand.
I don't understand none of it.
No, it just feels twisted. And I mean, I think influencers in general, I think people are starting to get a little sick of from what I'm seeing.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, I'm going to switch gears.
Please do.
And this is also disturbing and sad, but sometimes it is nothing to do with influencers. Yes, indeed. So this was in Alabama, and I think, have we talked about that cult leader, Rashad Jamal White? I think we talked about him briefly.
It sounds familiar.
So he was like the social media spirituality influencer.
Oh.
And he was accused of a bunch of murders and... I don't really know a ton about him. He's kind of just adjacent to this story that I'm going to talk about. We probably should talk about him because it's been in the news. But he just sounds like a bad dude. And so there were these two UCF, Florida, University of Central Florida students who were driving through a park in Alabama looking for waterfalls, having a good old time. And they see this woman who's now known as Yasmine Hider, maybe Heater, H-I-D-E-R. 21 years old. She's standing on the side of the road looking for help because her car broke down. And so, you know, she's young, they're young. They're like, yeah, of course, let's stop helping. Yeah. Like, I would do that. A young woman, like, yeah, okay, I'll help you out.
Yeah, someone my age.
Yeah.
Practically and a teenager. So, helpless. Right.
So young. Hasn't even gotten her beard yet. Yeah. Somehow has a kid.
A nanny. Yeah. A cute nanny with cool tattoos. Totally, I would help her.
So cool. So she says that her Scion has broken down like an eighth of a mile away from where they pick her up. And so they're like, yeah, okay, great.
Oh, no.
They go to the car. Both the girl. So this is a girlfriend and boyfriend who are in the car that pick her up. They use jumper cables to try to get it started while this woman is in the driver's seat. The girl even calls her dad, who's a mechanic. And she's like, hey, dad, can you try to help me figure out what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to them, the Scion had actually broken down weeks earlier, and this was all just a ruse to rob them. So suddenly Hider like pulls out a gun, orders them to empty their pockets and walk deep into the woods.
Oh my God.
And Adam Simji, who was the boyfriend, so he says, everything we have is in the van, you can have it. And then he pulls out a pistol from his waistband and orders her to drop her weapon. And then she's like, are you serious? And then she opens fire. And this like gunfight ensues between both of them.
Oh God. And fucking America, man.
So she pulled a gun on him first, on all of them. Yeah, she pulls the gun, tells them to empty their pockets. Then he pulls a gun, and then this gunfight ensues.
Oh God.
And then she's like, why'd you shoot me? It wasn't supposed to be like this. Which, like, girl, why did you do this in the first place?
Yeah, why are you robbing us? We were trying to help you. Actually, we were being really generous.
Yeah, like, take everything you want. Yeah. So then she has an accomplice named Crystal Pinkins. She emerges from the woods and flees. And then the girlfriend, whose name is Michaela Paulus, she calls the cops and, like, is trying to help her boyfriend, who's, like, bleeding out from being hit in the abdomen. He loses consciousness. She's trying to stop the bleeding. It doesn't work. And sadly, he dies. She survives.
Oh, my goodness.
But they find, totally, they find that Crystal Pinkins and Yasmine Hider have been living off grid in the Talladega National Forest near the crime scene and allegedly had connections with this Rashad Jamal White, this cult leader.
Oh, God.
So the investigators tracked them to this, like, base of camp or base camp of tents where they also found her 5-year-old son. And apparently he ran through the woods wielding a loaded gun and then put the gun down. Yeah. It's just like, fuck, man.
What the fuck? This is in Alabama?
Yeah, just don't go to Alabama.
So I want to say, like, of course it is, but, like, of course it is.
But of course it
is. It's a very Alabama story. Mm-hmm. They're all related.
Apparently, the duo had tried to do this to an older woman the day before, but, like a smart woman, she refused to follow them, and so their ruse was, you know,
foiled. If someone's like, help me, my car is broken down, it's just that way, follow me to it. Nope.
Yeah, nope.
You never go to a second location.
Mm-mm. And I mean, honestly, I don't even know if I'm going to help you because you might have a gun in the car and and I just don't trust anybody. And that's so sad that you can't trust anyone.
Trust no one. Not even us. If you see Elise and I on the side of the road broken down and we're like, don't hey, will us. You give us a jump? Our car's... No.
No.
I don't know sorry. You.
Michaela Paulus said... I guess this happened... This actually happened last summer. But she has... agreed to a plea deal this Monday.
The woman so now who it's shot in the news them because of the trial.
Yeah, yeah. So Michaela Paula said, "This is just the first year of many without him, but I see him everywhere. There's never a moment that goes by where he's not on my mind. The rest of my life will be a love letter to him. I miss you and love you forever, sweet boy."
Oh.
So very, very sad. And trust no one, folks. Trust no one.
You also wonder if it would have turned out differently if he hadn't also had a weapon.
Yeah, truly.
You know?
It's an interesting point that, like, just because you have a weapon doesn't mean it's going to protect you.
No. Like, and obviously this woman is, like, unstable enough.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that would be enough for her to be like, okay, we don't want any trouble. But yeah, she's sorry. Like, well, fuck, you're going to go tell people. I can't just let you go. Right. Like, I'm still going to rob you. Well, fuck. And then she's desperate and not making reasonable decisions.
Yeah.
Scary. Ugh, I don't want to leave my house, sad. You know?
I know. I mean, just come live here on my compound and you'll never have to leave.
Thank you. Okay. This reminded me of another one that I had, which is also so sad, but made me, when you talked about the 5-year-old running around with a gun, the headline is 10-year-old boy who vanished on hunting trip with grandfather found dead from gunshot.
What?
Okay. So this is so wild. This is in West Virginia. The Alabama of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
This 10-year-old boy went missing after he went hunting with his grandfather. His name was Wyatt Eves Nybert, and he went missing Saturday morning in guess where in West Virginia, where spooky things happen and we've been warned to stay away.
Is it that state park?
Point Pleasant.
What?
Right? That's why I, oh my God. Why I was like, at first I was like, this isn't that exciting. No offense to this boy.
Like, oh my God.
But I was like, Pleasant. Mothman warned us about this. Okay. So he goes missing on Saturday morning. Initially, this is so weird. Police responded to the area due to an ATV accident involving the boy's grandfather that occurred an hour after 10-year-old went missing. So I think what happened was the boy went missing and then the grandpa went to look for him on an ATV and then had an accident.
Oh.
If someone's only been missing an hour, I could, and you're like in the forest and you could find him, I could see maybe not calling 911 just yet. Yeah.
Like, oh, he's probably just off trail or whatever.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But he had a .22 rifle with him. Investigators haven't said if foul play is involved, but this is what his mom said. Well, she said he was very trained on gun safety. He knew not to walk around without the safety off, and he knew to carry the gun on his back with it pointed in the air. He had a very good trigger discipline. I'm like, bitch, he's fucking 10. He shouldn't be walking around by himself with a rifle. Okay, yeah, like, that's not safe. His brain is nowhere near fully formed. He cannot make safe decisions yet. So she said that the boy and his grandpa were best friends, and they went squirrel hunting. Like, there's so many things.
Was it worth it for
squirrels?
That.
Like, why are you hunting squirrels? And they were eating lunch when Wyatt said he was going to go for a walk to look for squirrels. And then Grandpa's like, okay. So then Grandpa cleans up after lunch, and then he couldn't find him. And he's like calling for him and can't find him.
Oh my God.
The next day they found him in the forest with a dead from a gunshot wound, which is just so weird because it's like, did he accidentally shoot himself? I doubt he was suicidal at age 10. Is there something else more sinister at play? Was he murdered?
I also just, I don't know how easy it would be to shoot yourself. I mean, you have to know where he was shot. Like, how do you shoot yourself with a rifle that easily? Like, that, I don't think that's easy to do.
And the fact that investigators haven't, like, said that it was an accident or anything leads me to believe, like, maybe there's more to the story.
Hmm.
We'll see, I guess.
That's tragic.
It only happened this past weekend, so.
Hmm. I wonder if it's hunting season out there, and maybe he could have gotten shot through the, like, maybe he didn't have a safety vest on, and maybe another hunter accidentally shot him without even knowing that they did. Like,
yeah, and then walked away.
Hit by a stray bullet or whatever. Man, that's poor grandpa. That's so sad.
Can you imagine?
No. I went on hunting trips as a kid with my dad. Really? I mean, I was pretty much just like along for the ride with, and there were a bunch of us kids.
Did he give you a rifle and just like, go off into the forest?
No. No. I don't even think, I mean, I shot guns as a kid, but like in our yard, like shooting. With like
close supervision.
Yeah. And like shooting like spray paint cans and stuff. Yeah. Like not out. And, not out, you know, on the hunting trip, it was like, I was just with him. I wasn't actually hunting. And we were always together. That's so sad. I mean, but I also understand, like, oh, how's he going to get hurt walking in the woods? Like, what's going to happen? And then, you know, shit happens. That's so sad.
I know. Ugh.
Well, keep us abreast of the situation.
Don't post your kids on the internet and don't set them free in the forest with a gun. Please.
Yeah. Ugh. Here's a little levity, a little quick levity.
Thank you.
This happened in California, in Sierra Madre. A California woman arrived at her home early to discover that a bear had broken in and raided her refrigerator.
They always do that. I love this because we've portrayed bears in a very, you know, negative light as of recent. So it's like, oh, they can be silly too. They're hungry just like us.
They just go into the fridge looking for nom noms. She said she automatically knew there was a bear in her house because she'd been alerted that there was a bear around. And then, you know, she looks in her house and she sees there's food all over. The fridge is open. And so she says that the bear likely enjoyed feasting on the fresh honey and mangoes she had recently purchased.
Well, you know, if Winnie the Pooh is to be believed, they like honey.
They do. They sure do. They said that the bear was gone by the time they got there. You know, by the time the police got to the house, he was gone. And they told, you know, the whole neighborhood to, like, be on the lookout and, you know, make sure there's no bear in your fridge. But I have to wonder, like, now that the bear associates fridges and homes with food, like, do they have to dispatch the bear, or like, what do they do? It seems like it's probably a pretty big threat.
It's a dangerous bear at that point, right?
And
there's a lot of bears in that area, right?
Yeah, but like, not all of them have a taste for refrigerator food. Yeah,
for human food.
My dad sent me this video of a bear on I don't know if it was on Instagram or Reddit or whatever. My dad's discovered reels and he just loves sending them to me. It's pretty hilarious.
My mom is all about reels and the algorithm knows. So it just gives her like cute dog videos or like cute baby animal videos. And I get like 3 to 5 a day from her.
Yep,
but
same.
It's just like, look at this cute puppy.
I'm like, okay, dad.
Another one. Very cute.
Yep. But so this one he sent me wasn't cute. It was this terrifying bear, like, trying to get into a house. I shouldn't even say trying, because it wasn't even, he didn't even have to try. He just like knocks down the front door.
Oh, I've
like,
seen that.
Have you seen that? Breaks into it.
Yeah, it's like the like Ring camera or whatever, and the bear just knocks down the door.
Yeah, and just walks in like it's terrifying. Nothing. I'm like, we're not safe in any building. There's unless you have a steel door, the bear is getting in.
Especially you.
Scary.
I'm like, I'm pretty safe.
I know.
Bears are rarely my dad,
I was like, so the bears could get into the little cabins. He was like, the bears could get into our houses. I was like, shut up, dad.
Hopefully they won't.
Last week when my phone died and I didn't have a light to walk back to the house with, I was like, there could be a fucking moose, there could be a bear, there could be literally anything that I can't see right now in my path.
You need that oil lamp, girl. Laura Ingalls Wilder, get your oil lamp refilled.
Oh my god. Okay, your turn.
Life as a homesteader, hard.
It's crazy.
Okay, I have one sad update. And
oh no.
Do you remember the gal that we talked about, the missing woman last week, Dominique Lomax, who apparently was at that apartment building, some guy named Rico. So I've been following it throughout the week, and midweek they found an unidentified body that had been burned. And they were thinking that it might be her, and then today when I looked for the update, it has been identified as her.
Oh no.
I know.
Do they What do they think happened?
So, homicide investigation was underway after a fire in South Memphis happened on September 6th around 4:30 p.m., right after she went missing. And people who lived in that, or like worked in that area, said that they saw the whole area blocked off by police, but they didn't know why. Basically, it just so says sad. That the police have confirmed that the body that was recovered has been identified as her. And that's literally it.
Oh, so sad.
The good thing is, it seems like her family was responsive and reported her missing very quickly. And there's got to be evidence. Her phone was recovered on the side of the road, you know.
Let's hope.
So I'm hoping that, like, the timeline, there's not a lot of gaps in the timeline. Like, we know the last time she was seen. We know she was here, or she, you know, all these things. So hopefully there's enough evidence that whoever did it will be caught very quickly. And I kind of feel like there will be. I mean, yeah. That, you know, they will be caught quickly because, I mean, I'm like, I don't want to say, like, the boyfriend did it, but...
Yeah,
it but seems weird. I mean, especially yeah, with Rico. She was involved in something weird and suspect. So this poor guy.
Find Rico,
so
and you find your answer.
I'm trying to remember if I read that she has a daughter.
Oh no,
I know. Just like so such sad. A waste. She's really beautiful.
Oh, she is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh. So
poor
that's
sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a little bit of levity.
Thank you.
There's a man named Reza Belushi, whatever.
Yes, I saw this.
This is the list I had.
Yeah.
So good.
So he lives in Florida, and he's been granted asylum from Iran, and for whatever reason, he desperately wants to get to London, and not by normal means, but by this giant floating hamster wheel that he has made. And he wants to run it across the Atlantic from Florida to London.
He wants to be, like, known. He wants to be infamous. He's going to be infamous because he's going to fucking die in the ocean.
Well, he sounds like he's insane. Not just because, really, obviously, like, it seems crazy. Insane to want to do this, but, like, he sounds fucking crazy.
He sounds really unhinged.
Yeah. So this thing is, like, literally a giant hamster wheel. It's made of buoys and wire. It's self-propelled by him running inside of it. And so literally anyone who would see this would be like, hey, that looks unsafe. And the Coast Guard was like, hey, rightfully that looks so. Unsafe. Yeah. And so they approach him and say, like, hey, you need to not do this. You need to get out of this self-made death trap. And why don't you come with us?
No, I will die out here on my own. Thank you.
Yeah. And so they're like, London is more than 4,000 miles away. You're not going to walk there in your hamster wheel.
And also, did you read that it has really poor ventilation? So
I don't
it can be
I didn't even see that it.
Yeah, I guess
it looks
no
like
ventilation.
It's just open. Well, it looks like it's just open air that he just runs in.
It said somewhere that it can get 120 degrees in there.
Oh my God. No, I did not see that. It looks just like a.
It gets really, really hot because it has like poor whatever in this, little chamber.
Well, you know, they were trying to find any way to get him out of this thing that they could. And so they asked for his registration. And he's like, well, it's registered in Florida, but I can't find my registration.
It's so funny and that so, they would pull you over on a boat. Coast Guard's like, license and registration, like, please.
Excuse me. Yeah. So they determined that he was conducting a manifestly unsafe voyage and say, like, you have to get out of this and you have to come. Yeah. And so he replies that he has a 12-inch knife and says, I'm going to kill myself if you attempt to remove me from my vessel. So they try again the next day. He pulls out two knives and once again threatens to hurt himself and then threatens to blow himself up. And they see these, like, holding wires in his hands. And so they believe him. So they leave. So this... The third day, they come back to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, the bomb was fake. That's not real, but I'm still not leaving. Fuck you. So on the 29th of August, they send another small boat, and they safely remove him from his floating hamster wheel. He's brought ashore in Miami Beach, and he's released on a $250,000 bond. And while he's barred from traveling outside the Southern District of Florida, he's also not allowed to go to the ocean or board a vessel on the ocean.
It's so insane.
I guess he also attempted similar voyages in 2014, 2016, and 2021, all of which the Coast Guard intervened on.
And it said, like, one of them, he was trying to go to Bermuda from Florida, and a couple found him out in open water, and he, like, hamster wheel runs over to them. He's like, do you know the way to Bermuda? How do you get to Bermuda?
Oh my God.
And they were like,
this moron
is, like, someone who has, like, no idea what he's doing. Like, it's a wonder that he hasn't died in the ocean yet, honestly.
I don't in this Vice documentary, he said, if you drive a boat, nobody cares. Bubble, nobody did before.
Like, so I love his spirit. I love his tenacity. I wish that he would
apply it to other areas, into
something that's not going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, result in a very costly rescue effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, did you see the guy that they pulled out of the fucking cave that was like 3,000 feet deep?
No. I hate looking at cave articles because they give me so much anxiety.
So like this guy was on this like voyage, like many week voyage into this like deep cave. I'm probably not getting all of the data correct, but okay, this is a general nub and gist. Developed gastrointestinal bleeding and vomiting, was like critically ill, but he like crawled down in this little cave with this team and they're like, well, he's not really in a state to like crawl back out because it's like physically demanding and he's very, very ill. So people came from like all over the world to help with this rescue effort. And I'm like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be crawling
waste
down
resources
there.
On you people know, who are like, dumb enough to crawl into caves.
Maybe don't go down there. You know, I'm sure your family loves you. I don't wish like death on you, but like, can we be the same thing with the fucking Titan? Like, you know, if you want to take a very, very stupid risk and go to a place that's not dangerous and not easily accessible, you forfeit the right to people spending millions of dollars and wasting resources to rescue you. Because there's people like fleeing for their lives on boats in the Mediterranean who could really use that rescue effort. And like,
well, that's how I felt about this guy. I'm like, you have asylum from Iran, like in the States. Yeah. Why do you want to leave so bad?
Why are you like, wasting this?
Like live your life, dude. Not in a fucking wheel of death on the ocean.
He's
also, I can't
like
imagine
well.
That he has enough food in this tiny wheel for 4,000 miles worth.
Right? Yeah. If you were on like a proper boat, that would be a long voyage. Not a little fucking hamster wheel. He's just going to die in the ocean one day. One day he's going to sneak past. They're not going to realize. And then he's going to die in the ocean.
I mean, one day they might let him, quote, sneak past. Yeah, like, we're
okay,
sick
buddy,
of this.
I'm not doing this.
Yeah, your wish is my command. Go ahead. Have fun. Go at it.
Scary. Oh, okay. My turn.
Yeah.
I forgot. it's still my turn. Okay. This is actually not funny, but the headline just cracked me up. Chicago TV news crew robbed at gunpoint while reporting on a string of robberies. Did you have this?
I was debating whether that was going to be one of my last ones, so I'm so glad that you're
perfect,
talking about it.
I was debating hamster wheel guy.
Oh my God. We're that's perfect so for each other.
So a television news crew that was reporting on a string of robberies in Chicago ended up being robbed at gunpoint by people in ski masks. It was Univision Chicago, which is a Spanish language station. And they were filming like really early, 5 a.m. in Chicago's Westtown neighborhood, talking about how there's been like this string of robberies and then they got robbed, which is not funny, but like,
no, but it's hilarious.
It's a great bit, you know?
Yes, it is. It doesn't even seem like it could be real. It's so insane.
Yeah, like it seems like an SNL skit or something like that.
It's really too bad that all the footage was on their cameras that were stolen, because that would be so funny to see.
Mm-hmm. Not funny, but I mean funny because everyone's okay. And like all right. But like hilarious to watch. Like, you know, there's been a string of robberies. Like, what's happening?
Oh God. It's happening now.
Oh, I wish you were
the string continues.
This is first person journalism, folks.
Yeah, really. We are in the story, literally.
I wish that it was live broadcast so that
me too. It would have been so amazing.
Except that would be really, really traumatizing for people watching, probably.
Yeah, like, oh my God, it's really happening. It could happen to any of us.
Also like
super brazen of those thieves.
And like, how have police not caught them if it's that like if they're willing to rob it. Okay, now like go dress up as like a lady in a Chanel pantsuit with a really nice Louis Vuitton purse and just wait, and then actually that'll be like an undercover operation.
Right.
God,
right.
Why am I not in law enforcement?
I don't know. It's crazy. You think can do so many things.
I think it's because I'm actually an idiot, but
no, you're a smart lady.
I'm an armchair expert.
Well, then I have the perfect story to end on for you because you can wormhole your way into this story tonight when you can't sleep, and then you can report on it next week.
Oh, no. Okay, what is it?
I found this headline and I was like, oh, this is perfect for Haley. She's going to love it. we're going back to 9/11, which we just remembered.
Hashtag never forget.
Hashtag never forget. But apparently there is a bit of an unsolved mystery, and it doesn't have to do with jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams.
Thank you, because that's also, I mean, I've solved that one.
Yeah. No, this
one day I'll do a 9/11 episode, but it can't be yes. in September.
No, definitely not. That needs to be like the complete opposite of September. Yes.
In March, I'll think about it.
Yes, there you go. This has to do with a missing person. Her name is Dr. Sneha Ann Phillip, and she and her husband lived in New York City, and she was a night owl, and she didn't have plans to be at the World Trade Centers that day, but she had texted her mom that she wanted to like go out to eat in a restaurant that I think was in the buildings, and she wasn't seen for, I think, the day before. She hadn't been seen for a while, the day before the Trade Center, you know, collapsed. But they figured she was just out and about. She was a night owl doing her thing. So then the Trade Centers collapse, and they just assume that she probably went to eat there and she died in the Trade Centers, what have you. And her family like really worked hard to get her memorialized on the plaques for all the people who died. Have her acknowledged
as someone yeah. who died on 9/11.
Exactly. But there are people who believe that that is not the case, that she did not actually die in the World Trade Centers, and that something happened that night. Some people speculate she met strangers late at night, used drugs, was in danger of losing her job at this medical center where she worked. And so some people believe that she died attempting to treat victims at the scene because she was a doctor. Other people believe that something more sinister was afoot and that more needs to be done. So there's this NYPD sergeant.
I'll fall down this rabbit hole. I'll dive into this rabbit hole.
I knew you would. There is a NYPD sergeant and cold case investigator who teaches at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And he said that he doesn't really think that there's any way this could be solved. But he does feel like content creators on social media probably have the ability to make a difference. That. And yeah, kind of try to figure out what happened. Basically armchair experts like we were just talking about. And so
web sleuths.
Who knows whether she died in the towers or whether something more sinister happened. And it just so happened that it was the perfect cover up the very next day. So
she could have been murdered.
Totally.
And they're like, oh no, she was in Lower Manhattan. Her fucking husband could have murdered her and been like, oh, she was in Lower Manhattan that morning.
It would have been the perfect cover up. So,
okay. I wasn't going to bring up 9/11 because I wanted to be sensitive, even though there's so much that needs to be said. Mainly so that jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams. But this is crazy. Okay. You know our boots on the ground, Josiah.
Oh, yes.
Who is essentially part of this podcast now.
we need to interview him. You need to have him on.
We really do. Because he sends me stuff all the time that I'm like, this is perfect for our podcast.
Josiah, okay. Be on our podcast.
Do you remember in the X-Files, the guys who run the Lone Gunman? The like nerdy guys, one of them has long hair.
Yes,
sometimes they go to them for assistance or whatever. Okay, so they had their own spinoff show.
Yes, that I remember that. I never saw it, but I never.
Okay,
but
you
I
knew that.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the pilot episode of the Lone Gunman TV show. What happens in the show is that, some spooky whatever secret force within the United States government hijacks a Boeing airplane, like remotely, and tries to fly it into the World Trade Center so that they can frame terrorists to start a forever war where they will all become rich.
And what
and that came out 6 months before 9/11. I was like, what? This can't be real. What? He's like, dude, this can't be real. I'm like, we're living in a simulation. How? Isn't that insane?
I'm so glad that I brought up 9/11 so that you could bring up this fucking this is the only news that matters this episode.
Isn't that crazy? My God. And isn't it interesting that the show was canceled, didn't last for that long?
Isn't it? Wow. That's fascinating and terrifying all at the same time.
I don't really know what to make of it. I feel so many things about it, but I love it and I hate it. Glad that they're uncovering the truth via a fictional TV show that happened before the events unfolded.
Truly. Thank God for
follow the money. Dick Cheney's a literal demon.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Man.
What a fun explosive event. I don't even know what to say. Oh, I shouldn't say explosive when I'm talking about it. I did not mean it like that. In the show, the terrorist attack, the faux terrorist attack is thwarted by the lone gunman that, like, they also find a way to hack into the computer and they divert
where
the plane.
Were they on 9/11?
On 9/11.
Come on, lone gunman.
And the
gunman.
Plane misses the World Trade Center by, like, a few feet in the show. Which is, like, very jarring. It makes me, like, viscerally uncomfortable that all... This is weird.
Yeah.
It's very just weird. Weird.
And tragic. So bizarre.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was kind of a crazy episode.
Yeah, it was. We covered so many weird things.
A lot of different places.
A lot of different places.
I drink so much wine.
As per usual. So did I. So I have, like, a little tiny sip left.
August was our best month ever for listenership.
Let's make September even better, y'all.
Thank you for everyone who listened.
Thank you, truly.
Tell your priest.
Depths of our dirty, dark hearts. Don't tell your priest. Fuck those guys. Well,
they'd like you to, but you're a little too old for them, yeah, at least.
Sure. I'm so young, Haley. Shut your dirty mouth.
Haley, you're the perfect age. In the prime of your youth.
Thank you, my youth.
A priest would love to molest you, Elise.
Is that the sweetest thing you've ever said? To
What a compliment.
Oh, God, the places we go. Tell me something good after all that.
It's been a very intense week.
Yeah.
What is good? Okay. My sourdough journey continues.
Oh, good.
I'm like a fucking, I mean, I was going to say a homesteader bitch. That's literally you. But I'm like baking. I'm like a domestic goddess. I'm baking so things. Good. I'm like gardening. Like, who even am I?
I love it.
I made brown butter sourdough chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, I make that recipe all the time. I know exactly the recipe you're talking about. I make it literally like every 2 weeks.
So good.
It's the best chocolate chip cookies I've ever had. They're so good.
Really good.
They're really good.
No one else in this house likes them. Well, Matt wouldn't try it, and Russ didn't like it. I don't know why.
Why wouldn't Matt try it?
He doesn't like sweets. I don't know.
Literally every person I've given those cookies to are like, these are the best cookies I've ever had.
They're really good. My dad was like, I wish I could eat them through the phone. Thank you, Father. You always support my sourdough endeavors.
Matthew.
I saved seed from my special zinnias today.
Oh, that's nice.
So that felt really cool. Because that's one of those things that every year I'm like, oh, I have to do that. I need to like, and like I even put some organza bags over like flowers that had like budded up but hadn't opened up yet. So that I can hand pollinate and like cross specific flowers that I want to see crossed with one another. And then save that seed, which is like every year I'm like, oh, I really need to do that. And then like all of a sudden like frost shit has happens. Come and I'm like, ugh. And we're still like more than a month away from frost and I'm on it. So that feels
lucky
really cool.
You. Man, yeah, we got snow on like the mountains. There creeping. It is coming.
You watch it slowly get lower and lower down in the mountains and you know it's coming for you.
It's like a line in the mountains. You're like, oh, I see it. Oh, it's a little
like a week later,
tonight.
It's a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my good things. I like got, you know, I've been like getting shit done. Russ is back in school. Russ started school this week.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That's just nice because it feels like you know, like summer was chaos, didn't have childcare. We were going to Canada all the time. And now I'm like, okay, we can like fall into a nice routine and that will feel very comfortable for my anxiety brain. So
that's great. Good.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good things. Good.
Yeah, that's good. How about you?
Let's see. This summer I shot a little campaign for Visit Anchorage and they liked it so much that they're like, hey, will you shoot a fall campaign for us too? A bigger one? And so that was very exciting.
Oh my God, good for you.
Yeah. So I have to do that this next month, just capturing a bunch of fall assets for them.
That's sweet because you could take Eloise with you, like go on little adventures and like photograph.
Exactly.
And take
She'll
videos.
Just be on my, my little front and we'll take photos and
good
have
for
fun.
You.
And so I'm just waiting for the colors to change a little bit more to get started on that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And let's see what happened this weekend. Ben had his market and that was really fun. We met, you know, lots of cool people and Ben did pretty well.
Good.
Yeah. So it was a nice weekend, nice end of summer, beginning of fall. And, you know, just another day here on the homestead. waiting for fall to come and destroy my garden like the moose did.
Hey, but I saw you got,
what was it the other day? Lettuce?
Mm. Oh, yeah, I had a head of lettuce.
Moose didn't get that lettuce.
No, I don't know. Have we talked about that in the podcast, that a moose came and ate all my Brussels sprouts that were beautiful? I don't think we did. Yeah,
just she jumped the fence. Very emotional Instagram story.
Oh my God. I was so sad.
I'm going to give her space. She's in a dark space.
So sad. I just, like, this summer has been so hard for growing stuff because there's been such little sun that it was like, oh my God, they made
finally,
it. And they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then that bitch jumped the fence and ate them all. And it was just, fuck, it was so sad. It was so sad.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, next summer, 7 months from now, I can try again.
When do you get frost?
I mean, anytime it could come.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it could come anytime.
I don't think I'm excited though because last year
We got our first snow in October last year, like October 12th. But crazy. It could happen anytime. Glen Allen, which is a town maybe like 120 miles away or something like that, they've already had snow.
Wow.
Like sticking snow. But I'm excited for our first frost because I've been really trying to harvest more stuff out of the ground, like forage for things. And so I want to wait until the first frost to harvest wild rose hips because you can do all kinds of cool stuff with them. And they say the first frost is the best time to wait for, or the best to take after that.
There's also like a relief at the end of the season.
Yeah, like I don't have to care for these things anymore.
Yeah, where it's like by the time frost comes, it's like I'm released from the tight grip of this garden.
Yeah.
And you like, have more time to do shit inside.
Is that means that I only have a couple months until February when I have to start all my seeds so that they have a fighting chance. And this year I'm going to even start some in January because they need to have as big of a chance as they can. And that's even more stressful because I have to make sure the well shed is warm and I have to make sure that there's enough light and... Oh, it's not fun.
Hard.
But I learned a lot this year. I learned a lot of what to do, what not to do, what I need to do differently next year. So my dad always reminds me, he's like, it's just a learning process, Elise. It's just, you know, every year we'll learn something else. I'm like, I know, but I wanted it to be perfect this year. So.
Yeah, it's funny because I was like really pushing myself too hard to try and get flowers to the shop that I sell flowers at in town. Luna Bellis, you know it. It's like because we've been in Canada most weekends for the last 2 months. It's been like just very challenging because like I take flowers there on Fridays and like we'll leave Friday morning. So then like Thursday I'm up like super late, or then I get up at 5 a.m. on Friday and I'm like trying to make bouquets, but I want them to be fresh. So I don't want to like harvest the flowers too far in advance. And just like, it's been like a huge stress. And my mom was finally like, why do you need to do that? I'm like, I have all these flowers. I don't just want to let them like die in the field. She's like, you got a lot going on. Like, you know, maybe
that's nice.
You don't have to sell flowers every week. And it was like, oh,
you're right.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I would like to. And also this summer looks a little bit different than I thought it was going to. So when I'm
And they decorate your yard beautifully.
Yeah.
So.
Like I'm gonna still enjoy them. And and it was like, it doesn't always have to look like you hoped it would. And it's okay if it looks different and you can still enjoy it for what it is. You know?
Yeah, totally.
It's hard for me though.
Same. I'm a big perfectionist and it's really hard for me when things aren't the way I want them to be.
We've just gone really deep on this episode. We'll tell you our feelings about parenting. We'll tell you our feelings about life. Tell you our feelings about 9/11. Too soon, Haley. It's fucking the 13th.
It's only been
today.
2 days. But in all honesty, very, very sad for all the 9/11 people. I just got to put that in there.
All the 9/11 people.
I just got to say, RIP.
It's very sad. 9/11 is sad. The ensuing forever war and all of the hundreds of thousands
all of
innocent
is sad.
Civilians that have been killed is sad. The whole thing is fucking sad.
See, all the 9/11 people. I encompassed
everyone with one sentence. She has a way. She has an elegance about her speech that I just love.
Yeah, I just write books. She should write novels.
Well, before we offend anyone else, shall we call it a night?
We should call it a night. Find us on social media, Easy Bake Oven Podcast. Find our website.
If you have a great little tidbit like Lacey did and you just want to share a sweet little spooky crumb, send that our way.
Spooky crumb. Yes. If you have a great sourdough recipe, send that our way as well. Yeah. We both love
it. I'm a sourdough bitch now. This is my new life.
It's very fun. It's
delicious. I bring my starter with me across country borders to continue feeding it.
You can just put it in the fridge.
No, I wanted to bake in Canada, so I brought it for that reason, too. You're like, Haley, don't make this harder than it needs to be.
You don't need to do this. Refrigerate it.
I can't leave her.
I can't leave it. Yeah. And follow us, rate us, subscribe, and
leave a review
next week for some spooky shit, as per usual. Yeah, leave a review.
Yeah. All right. Well, as always, don't forget to keep it spooky
and make it sweet.
Happy haunting!